and so on. And, you know, it was very involved in manufacturing, but decided he got the teaching bug in that. So didn't have the traditional teacher preparation route,
yes,
but had the enough points to qualify him to come in and be part of this experience-based licensure program. So he comes in, he gets this experience-based license from the Department of Public Instruction, and then school districts then work with, you know, some of the components that this employee may not have gotten through traditional teacher program. So, you know, whether it's something on curriculum and assessment or
yes,
something on behavioral management and so on. So we have developed a program in conjunction with Kenosha Unified to work with UW Stout to focus on providing these opportunities, kind of like a mini course sequence that we would be putting experience-based licensure teachers through to help them gain further experience and lead towards initial educator preparation license.
Wonderful. So to our radio audience, we say thank you for being with us today as I visited with Dan Thielen, Chief of Secondary Transformation in the Racine Unified School District. Our program focused on the changes that have and are taking place in the high school academic and career programming. I wish you well in the challenges that face you in this work of transforming Racine Unified secondary academic and career program curriculum. Finally, tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for another edition of Education Matters. This is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, February Science Night at Parkside features Dr. Greg Richards with his presentation Flu Frenzy on Wednesday, February 14th, discussing the history of flu outbreaks, vaccines, contagion, and immunity. The event at 7 p.m. in the cinema is free and open to the public.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Linda Fleshinsky, a mother, grandmother, freelance writer, and former Racine School Board president. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, and our topic this morning is jobs in Kenosha County, jobs in Racine County, how to get them, how to tell your friends to get a new job, a better job, and maybe move up in your skills. With us are job development people from both counties, but we're going to start with Kenosha. And my first guest is Doug Bartz. He's the Workforce Development Manager for Kenosha County. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
Doug, what's on the top of your agenda for letting people know how they can take advantage of the job center here right now in December?
Well, the first thing we want to do is we want to highlight our business services team. And that's the team that's putting together, going out and meeting with the businesses to see what the needs are. And we will host them at the job center in doing events that are specialized towards them. We call them on-site recruitments. And so these companies will come in, and they're scheduled sometimes a couple days in advance, sometimes a couple weeks in advance, and they'll have the opportunity to come in and meet with people one-on-one right away.
So you're really letting the businesses in the area know, small and large, I presume?
Small and large.
And you want the public to know and what these opportunities are. And what kind of opportunities are these, Doug?
There's so many different opportunities, and we work with so many different companies. We work with companies like Speedway and Niagara Bottling, and we run a gamut. There's no specific industry that we work with. We try to help everyone.
Now, Foxconn is coming to the area. You've probably heard of that.
A little bit.
Yeah. What's your relationship going to be with hiring for Foxconn?
Well, when Foxconn gets ready to be doing that, we'll be working with our partners in Racine. We'll be working with our workforce partners here at Gateway, and as well as with our economic development agencies to meet the needs that Foxconn has.
And what do you expect that those are going to be? What kind of a range are they going to be looking for as far as what you know today?
As far as what we know today is that we're going to be looking at production workers, people that are working on the assembly line doing those sorts of things, all the way up to management and engineering jobs. So it's gonna be a pretty wide array. We don't have a lot of specifics on that yet, but we are in general talks with them.
Now, we're recording this a day in advance, so some news may break later, but we have just heard about the governor's plan to spend up to $7 million, close to $7 million, on attracting workers to Wisconsin, which has taken some people by surprise. Do you have any understanding? Has there been any communication down to the job centers here in southeastern Wisconsin about what that's about and how that will work for you?
Very little communication on that. I know that at the state level, it's the CWI, the Council on Workforce Investment, and the governor's office that have been looking at a plan on how we can attract more talent to Southeast. And it's far beyond the needs of Foxconn. We have Haribo, we have Uline, we have Jockey, we have all these great companies here in Southeast and in Kenosha that are looking for employees now. So how can we start having an effect and start to mitigate some of their needs?
So you're seeing the governor's proposal as an umbrella and more of a global approach, not just specifically for Foxconn. Right?
Absolutely.
I see. Now, will you expect any other impacts on your department with the coming state budget? Are you having any concerns about staffing and having the funds you need to accomplish your objectives?
You know, at this point in time, I don't really see that being an issue. Our funding, specifically for the job center, it comes from what's called WIOA, which is Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, and that's actually a federal act. So the money is passed down from the Department of Labor to the state of Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development to the local workforce boards. So the state is acting as a pass-through, and we don't really actually receive any specific state funds.
How does that pass-through work? Is there some kind of a formula that you get allocated, or do you have to depend on a buddy being nice to you in Madison? How does that work?
No, it's a pretty intense formula at the state level, and it's vetted by many different people, and it's based on many different factors. Southeast benefits from, you know, having a larger population, but there's so many different factors involved with the allocation. But it's done at the state level and then passed down.
There's been a lot of publicity in the paper about Amazon doing a lot more hiring. I'm not quite clear how much of their hiring that I'm hearing about right now is seasonal and how much of it is for the longer term. What's your impression?
I think it's a combination of both. It's definitely the season, and that season's going to be coming to an end in another couple weeks here once Christmas happens. But what we found in working with Amazon is that they are hiring all the time. I know compared to the initial reports, when they first started talking about building in Kenosha, they wanted somewhere around 1,600 to 1,800 people, and we're well over 3,000 there now.
Is that then because of expansion rather than recidivism, turnover, retention problems that they may have?
I think initially, yeah. I mean, initially, I think they were only going to have one building. They ended up putting together two buildings, the distribution center and the fulfillment center. So you had two different things happen there, and it's a very big building, and they run many different shifts, and that building is always has people in it working.
What is the impact that you're foreseeing in terms of wage levels in our area? What's the impact? Are wages starting to creep up because of the competition, or are they still flat, Doug?
Actually, we are seeing an increase in wages, and it's across all industries. Amazon has brought a lot of competition, a large need for people that we needed here in Kenosha County. And that has made staffing tougher. So in order to compete, businesses have needed to start increasing some of their wages and benefit packages, and they've risen to that occasion.
What about the kinds of jobs that are available in Uline and Amazon and the other companies that you've mentioned? Is it primarily the unskilled jobs that we're finding, or are there increasing skill levels? What sort of preparation are you finding employees need?
It varies. It varies. I don't think you can go anywhere driving through Kenosha and not see a help wanted sign on somebody's block. And the wage and skill level are quite different everywhere. And the skill levels particularly, you know, you have companies that just don't require as much of that skill. The one skill we know everybody needs to have is those soft skills.
Tell us about that for a moment.
Well, the soft skills are the having that that know-how that you need to wake up in the morning, you need to work on time. If you're not going to be there, you need to call in sick. Those types of things. That's probably the most important factor of working anywhere for any business, is that inherent knowledge that you need to be there and you need to be involved.
I'm with Doug Bartz, the manager of workforce development for Kenosha County, and we're going to get to Racine with his counterparts there a little bit later in the program. Doug, what kinds of preparation are you telling kids in high school and older adults who are looking to improve their lot or to get a second or job or to get one job to replace three? What are you telling them they need in order to get ahead today and tomorrow?
Well, the first thing is to what are you interested in? Where do your interests lie? Because we all know that when you like your job or love your job, you're going to do your job well and you're probably going to stay there a longer time. So that would be my initial suggestion, is really find out what it is that you want to do and where your interests lie. And once you have that, then you can do a lot of different career assessments to see exactly how that would translate into a career for you.
Where does a high school diploma get you today?
Can get you many places, but we know that having a high school diploma has a huge impact on the rest of your work history.
What about an associate's degree from, say, Gateway?
Well, I think every level of education that you get, it increases your possibilities and of employment and of higher wage employment. Working together with Gateway, we do that on a daily basis. We wouldn't be able to train as many people as we do if it wasn't for being involved with Gateway and Parkside and our post-secondary education institutions we have here.
You see those relationships deepening and strengthening in the future?
Yes. I mean, we have a very good working relationship now with the Workforce Economic and Development Division out at the IMET Center in Sturtevant. We work together with our economic development agencies and chamber, and we make sure that everybody's getting the information they need.
Let's take a look back for a minute, Doug. When you started working with the Job Center, unemployment was a little higher than it was now. What's happened during your tenure? How long have you been with the jobs program?
I started down here in Kenosha in February of 2012.
And what have you seen during your career here with the jobs program?
Well, when I first came to Kenosha, unemployment was really high, but we were also still working with the closure of the Chrysler plant. And that was a huge and significant time in Kenosha. And, of course, now when you drive by the plant, it's a brownfield now that they're working on revitalizing. And our sort of work economy has changed a little bit, where we were into that industrial manufacturing. Now we're seeing ourselves in a world of more advanced manufacturing and warehousing and distribution. We have a lot of great things happening, a lot of buildings going up, and a lot of companies that are looking at Kenosha and coming to Kenosha.
What's the unemployment rate now here in Kenosha County?
I believe we're somewhere around 4. I didn't exactly look at the number right before I came in today.
And we were very high when you came in 2012.
Oh, we were over 9. So we've had a 5% decrease minimum.
Now, what impact does that have on the kind of work that you have to do in the job center to match workers with employers? What's happening as a result of that?
Well, it's a 180. Before, we had a lot of retraining and refocusing of people that wanted to or couldn't work in that industrial manufacturing anymore, retraining them to work in advanced manufacturing and the distribution centers. We saw the same thing when SuperValue, unfortunately, closed as well. When the distribution center went down, we were fortunate enough to have Meijer come in and sort of revitalize that warehouse and put up a great store as well.
What do you see happening now in the immediate future with filling these jobs that are all these four hire signs up around the county? How difficult is it going to be to fill those jobs, and what's the strategy? Obviously, you've mentioned working with the educational institutions. What's entailed in that, and what other strategies do you need to employ?
Well, we're looking at a bunch of different things. We're working with KUSD on a regular basis. We're looking at apprenticeship models, especially with Haribo coming. It's a German company, and they're very heavy in apprenticeship in Germany. So we're looking at those types of things. We're really looking at what type of transferable skills are all of these jobs going to have, so that if you do find you get in somewhere, what can you transfer somewhere else that would be accepted by that company as well? So what types of trainings, what type of readiness activities do you need to do? And we need people to know that if this is when you want to start your career and when you want to start your job, the jobs are here and available. Let's get you trained up and ready.
I imagine that you're working with people who now at this point with the lower unemployment rate who may perhaps not be as ready for a job, people who have marginal educations. They may have a criminal record history. Are there special issues like that that are becoming more of a focus that perhaps weren't so important 5 years ago?
Absolutely. We see every day at the job center, people come in and everybody has a story and everybody has a history. And we will work with those people to try to help them overcome those barriers. We have many different programs available within our workforce development division and with some of our partner agencies. We have specialized services for veterans and Job Corps for youth. We have, you know, the food share employment and training programs. And all of these programs exist to be able to help people overcome barriers, receive training, and go to work.
So with your location within the Department of Human Services and adjacent to those services, it sounds like you're interacting with them quite often.
Absolutely. It was one of the first job centers in the state of Wisconsin to be a comprehensive job center. We still remain one of the largest job centers in the state. Having all of the services in one place, which was the vision and remains the vision of our county exec today, is vital. It's vital because you're seeing people come in from all of these programs, and we have all of our job center information up. We have it flashing on TVs. We have billboards. We have signs. We have the entire Employment Central area of computers available. And when people are coming in, they notice those things. And that drives a lot of our traffic to people come in and actually inquire, hey, what is this about? Where is this job at? And then we work together with CABA and those types of agencies as well, and Kenosha County Transit.
Where are we now with respect to the state laws and local employer practices with respect to people who have modest criminal records or maybe have had a felony that they have now worked off and have been rehabilitated? But we all know that there have been many stories about such individuals being immediately screened out. What's happening today in Kenosha County with respect to the law and practice in your knowledge, Doug?
As far as the law, I'm not very familiar if there's any changes being looked at there. But I know that a lot of employers are having to adjust. What they might have screened out in the past, they might not screen out now. And that's so job-specific. You really have to look at a case-by-case, individual basis of what the history was compared to where you're going to be working and what the environment is. And that's what companies are really looking at.
So the trend is...
Trending, everybody is getting higher unemployment rates now. So I think it's overall, when you look at all areas, people with barriers, people without barriers, the unemployment rate is going down, which means more people are working.
When someone comes into the job center and says, look, Doug, or one of your colleagues perhaps, what kind of a starting wage can I expect for a relatively low-skilled job? I'm going to plan for a job at Amazon or one of the warehouses, Rust-Oleum, which is near where I live. What are the job wage ranges for those kinds of jobs today?
We're probably looking $10 to $15 an hour for the very unskilled workers that are trainable, doing repetitive things, filling orders in the warehouse, those types of things.
And when you say 10 to 15, what determines the top and bottom of that range?
Well, it depends on the company and what they're looking at, what they're paying.
So it varies by company more than by within company.
Absolutely.
Your experience. What about the chances for advancement in jobs like that? Are there any?
There's great growth. One of the things that a lot of people are most impressive about with Amazon are the people that come in and do extremely well. They tend to stay with Amazon for a long period of time. And because Amazon is so big and they're in so many different locations, they have that ability to have massive advancement opportunities.
So there actually could be upward mobility even with a limited skill set at a beginning job in one of those facilities?
Absolutely.
I see. With Foxconn coming in and these other employers that you've mentioned, there's going to be, I'm sure, a big impact on our educational institutions, K through 12 and associate degrees and baccalaureate degrees. Are there any particular skill set areas, majors, focus areas of study that someone in high school today ought to be thinking about?
Well, I think it's really industry specific. We know that engineering is a need at many different companies located, and we have many good engineer schools and reciprocating programs with our schools that are here now.
Yes, they've reinstated the transfer program between UW-Parkside and the College of Engineering and Computer Science at UW-Milwaukee, which is a very good thing that has recently been revitalized. Yes, go on.
And then besides things like that, we have to look at, there are a lot of automation in warehouses and things like that now, and we have to look at industrial machine repair, PLC programming, and those types of things as well.
PLC?
Oh.
What kind of job is that?
That's repairing the equipment that is automated. So it's programming and logistical controls, I believe.
Now, if we were to make you czar of Southeast Wisconsin job services, and I know you were involved with Southeastern Wisconsin Council and on a regional basis, which is wonderful, what would you like to see happen, both within the job centers themselves, perhaps, and maybe within other organizations and agencies and the educational system? What if you could wave a magic wand, what would you do to improve the situation for employees and employers, Doug?
I feel like that's a loaded question, Len. I'm not czar, so I don't have to make those decisions. But from my input, everybody's working together right now like we never have in the past. And that's a great thing to see. It's great that all of our partners can be together and walk out of a room with solutions and making necessary changes to programs and to things that are happening that are going to create a better climate for both the constituents in Kenosha and our businesses in Kenosha.
Well, that's good to hear. Doug Bartz, tell us, how do people get in touch with the Job Center? How do they find you? What do they do to avail themselves of your services? Do you have a phone number, a website, a location to give us?
Absolutely. The Kenosha County Job Center is located at 8600 Sheridan Road. The main phone number there, and they can transfer you through to anybody, is 697-4500.
697-4500. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And if you look on Facebook, if you have Facebook, and you go to Business Services of Kenosha County, you'll find all of our postings for job fairs and on-sites.
Thank you very much, Doug Bartz, Manager of Workforce Development in Kenosha County. And now we're going to move on to Racine County. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Lon.
And now let me introduce our guests from Racine Workforce Development. We have with us Hope Otto, the Human Services Director for Racine County. And with Hope are Mark Mundell, the Workforce Solutions Manager, and Travis Richardson, the Data Manager. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Lynn.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the job situation with respect to Racine County. We've covered Kenosha pretty thoroughly, and I'd like to talk with you a little bit about Foxconn as well. But first, what's the number one item on your agenda right now? I know you have a program that you're very proud of that's going to be helping a lot of unemployed and underemployed called Uplift 900. Hope, maybe you could start out by telling us a little bit about that, and the others could fill in some of the details.
Absolutely. So Uplift 900 is an initiative that was derived from the theory and idea that we could make the City of Racine's unemployment numbers match that of the state and county average by moving 900 people who are traditionally unemployed or underemployed to a place of employment. And by employment, meaning a family sustaining wage, high enough earning job that would be, again, supportive of their families and helping them to lift out of poverty.
So this would get them out of that Alice category that the United Ways have talked about of people who are very housing income insecure.
It's really closely related to that. You know, some of the jobs may not achieve a complete Alice level of, like, where the wages, but it would be a starting point in developing the career pathway towards that.
Great. Tell us a little bit more about it, folks. How is this going to work?
Sure. So the goal for us is to identify the key unemployment drivers for those individuals. And number one thing that we see in that is educational attainment. And we have over 9,000 individuals within the greater Racine area that do not have high school degrees. And that is the first step towards getting the necessary credentials to long-term sustainable employment. So our GED initiative was really the, impetus for this, in addition to the larger idea that 900 individuals would be able to move that unemployment level. So our GED initiative is trying to address that educational gap for those individuals and connecting them to getting their GED and post-secondary education and training.
You said there are 9,000 people in Racine County who lack a high school degree or equivalent. Is that right?
9,000 within greater Racine area, so mostly within the city of Racine.
Wow,
15,000 in the county.
That seems like a large number. What's the predominant age group, or is it very evenly distributed across various age subcategories?
Hi, this is Travis, the data manager. So it's disproportionately a higher non-completion rate among younger folks. So if you look at people between the ages of 18 to 34, you're going to see that number higher. And then that'll kind of dip down for the 35 to 44-year-olds. But I think in terms of the importance of a GED, it's really crucial to help younger folks because a GED is such an important stepping stone to a post-secondary credential, which in turn helps to get a better family-sustaining job.
I'm a little surprised that it's disproportionately in that younger age group. Is there any reason for that you know of?
That's a very tough question. Truthfully, that number is similar between younger and older folks. And again, the numbers are fairly consistent. I think more of the emphasis, again, is on younger people because of from there they have the ability to go on, get that post-secondary credential, and have more years of earning potential and jobs that require a college degree.
How do people get into this?
This is Mark.
Go ahead.
I think that, you know, one of the things, it's just natural as time goes on and people have more and more years to work on getting their GED, that number, as you get older and older, has to shrink.
How do people get into this program? Who are these 900 people going to be?
So we're in the process of identifying exactly who the 900 are going to be. I mean, obviously the number is much larger than 900, but 900 is our goal, to be able to have a tangible, attainable goal for us to reach. Although it is a ambitious goal, it's really just more of the framework for that. So it's certainly more than 900 people. But we want to make sure that the people who have not had access and are traditionally underserved are not left on the side in light of all the economic opportunities that are coming to our community, in light of Foxconn, and most importantly, the current jobs that are open and have been difficult to fill that have a lot of earning potential for individuals and their families.
Will the entry point be at your job center, Mark, or will it be in cooperation with human service agencies in your area, or is it a little too early in the process to know how those moving parts?
No, the answer is yes. I mean, I think we've strategized about what this has to look like, and now it's part of it is about engaging those partners in the effort that the framework that we've set up. So, you know, on any given month, we see 2,200 people coming in to the Workforce Solutions Center for assistance. So there'll be some of those. But we also intend to be out in the community for people that aren't familiar with us and working with partners such as faith-based, community-based organizations that are providing other types of support, whether that be spiritual support or whether that be food support through food banks and other places like that where there is a need, and leveraging those relationships and accessing different groups of customers that may not be coming in our front doors.
What do you expect is going to be available to people in terms of wage levels in the jobs that you're recruiting for in the coming year?
There's over 1,200 hard-to-fill vacancies currently that we've identified, and the target that we're looking at is at a minimum of $12-$13 an hour.
With all of the warehouse projects around in the I-94 corridor that we live with, what are the prospects for advancement within those from your perspective, and how good are those jobs for career paths?
Well, what I can say is that there's certainly plenty of jobs within the warehousing and distribution center, and I would have think Doug spoke a little bit about that with opportunities at Amazon and opportunities at Uline and with Haribo coming in, the Meijer Distribution Center, and even in Racine County as we move into this, we've had smaller distribution centers and warehousing operations. And so, you know, right now those seem to enter the entry wage is, you know, somewhere in that $12 to $13 area going up to $17 an hour.
Now, the Foxconn agreements have been big in the news as of Friday, and which is when we're recording this in advance. How is that going to impact your operations in the next 4 months or so? Is there going to be much in the way of hiring, or is it still way too early to start to tell people what kinds of jobs they're going to be and when they're going to be available? I'm wondering what you would tell a young person maybe who's a high school senior or working toward their associate degree on one of our Gateway Technical College campuses. How would you advise them at this point?
Well, what we've done so far is we're aware that Foxconn has been posting some current job openings on Indeed and also on the Job Center of Wisconsin, so we'd encourage people to look at those. And what we see from the current mix of jobs is most of those jobs are requiring some post-secondary education. And as we've talked about, the relationship between post-secondary education, availability of jobs, and wages, there's a strong correlation. So we would encourage that young person to look at careers in technology, advanced manufacturing, logistics, healthcare, and things like that at Gateway or UW Parkside or Carthage.
Now, the plans for the road building and road reconstruction around the Foxconn location have talked about being prepared to accommodate 12-hour shift changes in the morning and in the evening. Are you aware that they're going to be hiring people for 12-hour shifts there, or will they be 8-hour shifts? So what information do you have?
You have the same information that we've seen in the paper, and, you know, we anticipate that in the upcoming month, as Foxconn moves out of from, you know, the establishing these very important critical agreements with local government and state government, that they'll begin talking more about the employment opportunities, how their operations proceed, and what their staffing model looks like. And we'll be there to support them. But what we're also focusing on is, you know, in Racine County, there's already 4,000 businesses, and we look to continuing to serve them and meeting their hiring needs as the economy continues to move forward in a very positive direction.
Now, what is the unemployment rate in Racine County currently?
I believe in the, and this is Travis again, I believe in the city as of September, it's in the low 4 percentile, so around 4%. And in the county, it's probably slightly lower.
3.6,
so 3.6%.
So
I think it's 3.6 for the county and 4.9 for the city.
So this ought to mean that there's upward pressure on wages in Racine County, too. Is that right?
Well, there, we saw some of that when Amazon came in and started salaries, you know, in the $12.50 to $13.50 range with benefits starting on the first day. Businesses had to adjust to that competition. And is, you know, if Foxconn comes in and offers a salary, which we don't know where it is, businesses are going to have to look at that. But it's not only wage that's important. If we look at the multi-generational workforce and what's important to baby boomers and or Gen Xers is different for the millennials. So that there's other non-cost ways that you can attract and retain talent in the workplace.
It sounds to me like we're going to have to look for people from outside the area. And indeed, the governor is talking about spending $6.8 million to recruit workers to come into Racine County and other places in the state to fill the jobs. How does that all fit together, or is it too soon for you to have any details from the state as to what they have in mind? How do you see all this fitting together, Hope? And where are these people going to come from? There are targets for employment within Racine County, as I understand the agreements that have just been signed this past week. I'm a little confused as to how all this works together. Maybe you could help enlighten me.
Sure. We believe that we need to take care of our Racine County residents first and foremost, and I think what we talked about earlier with the Uplift 900, as well as scaling up our existing efforts within Racine County to make sure that we are helping, you know, upskill and educate and meet the employment needs of our community is the first and foremost goal for us. So we are partnering very closely with the state of Wisconsin and the Milwaukee M7 region, as well as national recruitment efforts that are being done in coordination with the state. And we've had a lot of early discussions surrounding this, and we feel prepared and ready to engage on, you know, discussions at all levels of that, of how we're going to need to partner with the different entities that specialize for national recruitment as well as regional recruitment.
It seems like this argues for an intense and maybe even far greater than the amount we already have, which is quite good in both counties in terms of engagement with our post-secondary educational institutions as well as our high school institutions. How do you see that evolving in the future, folks?
So what you mean by that is like how we engage with our educational partners to assure like that pipeline?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they've been active and at the table in all of our discussions. I mean, Gateway has been a critical partner to workforce development efforts since our inception, you know, 26 years ago. So we work in collaboration with them. We know what our skills are and where our niches and where we can help people with some of the fundamental skills and soft skills that are necessary for getting people connected to be successful in post-secondary education and training through Gateway and Parkside and Carthage and our local partners, but we're not trying to replicate any of the things that they are doing. We work in synergy and great partnership with them, and we'll continue to with this.
Do you have a forecast yet as to how many jobs you're going to need to help fill in the next 12 months and the 12 months after that as this plant gets built and staffed up? Do you have any targets at this point that you're working towards or trying to prepare for?
So to just talk about what we were saying earlier, our main first focus, our primary focus, is helping with the current existing positions that are there and helping our legacy employers to connect our you know, candidates to jobs. But we will be ready and able to help with the needs that are requested from Foxconn as well. In terms of actual numbers and what role we'll play, that is yet to be determined.
What about the role of hiring veterans at Foxconn? Is there going to be a particular effort? Is there great interest at the company's level and at the county level in doing anything in working with veterans in any special way?
Well, I think that's a decision that Foxconn we'll need to make, and early indications are that Foxconn, as many of our current employers have identified, is veterans have a lot of skills to bring to the table. They bring, you know, leadership. They certainly understand hard work and initiative and flexibility and stick-to-itiveness. So I think Foxconn will look to staffing with veterans, as our current base employers will be doing.
Hope, there is a lot of talk about the state budget right now. What's the outlook for your department in terms of support you will be getting from and through the state for your operations? Are you pleased? Are you worried? Are you happy?
I would say I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, I believe that we have a lot of ability to do great work and to scale the efforts that we need to with the funding that we have. And we'd certainly welcome any additional funding that would help to support this and bring this at an even bigger level. All indications are that we will have the necessary support and collaboration with the state and regional partners to be able to meet the workforce development needs of our community.
Is there some special collaboration that's being put into place with respect to the counties, immediate surrounding counties, Walworth, Kenosha, Racine, in terms of working together so you're not stepping all over each other on hiring for these big new companies coming in? Or is that something that's already done as a matter of course? Is there some new level of effort?
That's already been done as a matter of course. And I think the relationships with the county leadership, from the county board to the county executive, is exceptionally strong, as is the working relationship that Doug and I have, and with our counterpart Karen Burns in Walworth County. So that relationship, that history is all there. This is just another chapter in that relationship moving forward.
Now, Travis probably hasn't been around long enough to answer this question, but I'm curious to hear you compare and contrast Mark Mundell and Hope Otto during your tenure, during your careers with Jobs and Human Services in Racine County. Over the last few years, the last 10 years or so, what are you seeing evolving, and how's the picture changed from your point of view?
Len, I'll see if I can take this. When County Executive Delagrave got elected, he set a number of priorities on his list. One was improving access to mental health. It's another division within Hope's department, and that division manager and Hope have moved aggressively and making access to mental health services more readily available in the Racine community. He also identified development along the I-94 corridor as something that was very important to him. I think he could check that box off with Foxconn and all the other companies. InSinkErator is building out that way, and Norco is out on near Highway K in I-94. And then he wanted to transform workforce solutions. And in that process, I've moved into that position in the last 2 years. We've done a total rebranding. We've empowered our staff to be customer-centric as opposed to rule-centric. And we are continuing with the hiring needs. We are expanding our services to our business solutions team. And we're adding new staff there and to meet the needs of our companies on the west end of the county. I'm redeploying one of our senior business consultants, Christine Henning, to the western part of the county to meet those businesses' needs very much in a direct basis. So I think all three of those things, Jonathan can say with a great deal of pride and truth, that they've been successful in meeting his goals.
That's great. Let's close by letting people know how to find you all. What numbers to call? Where are you on Facebook? Where are you on the World Wide Web? How do people contact you to get access to your services?
Sure. Sure. So you can reach Workforce Solutions, which would be an excellent gateway for any conversations regarding Foxconn and workforce development and any sort of educational development questions that an individual may have at 262-638-6312. Our Facebook page is at facebook.com/Racine County Workforce Solutions. And our website is racinecounty.com/government.